verses 6 through 10. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. Mary, I don't know where you are right now, but you know what Mary does so often? She says words that speak for us. She talks about her heart, but she actually talks about our heart too. I appreciate that greatly. Thank you, Mary. God's grace is sufficient. We praise him and thank him. Let me ask you right now to just bow your heads and let's go to the Lord, because we need help as we study the Word of God. Desperately need help. We need God's work in our hearts right now as we look at truth this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for gathering this group of people today. We are in your hands. We live and breathe by your grace. We have been saved from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin by your hand of mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can gather and worship. And Father, we acknowledge that this great privilege, this great blessing of worship this morning comes only by your hand. Thank you. And Father, as weak as we are, and as frail as we are, and as insufficient as we are, we simply lay ourselves before you this morning and ask even now, as we look into your word, that you will speak to us. God, you've given it to us. Guard our thoughts from going someplace else. And help us, dear God, by the Spirit that dwells within your people today, to focus on you, to be attentive, and to listen as you speak. Thank you for this great and marvelous grace that saves us and sanctifies us. And you do that by your Spirit through your word. To you be glory now as we look at your truth today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Galatians chapter 6 this morning. And I would start by simply saying that there is a principle that operates in every area of life. It works in our physical life. It works in our spiritual life. It works in our financial life. It works in our moral life. It works in all of life. There is a truth. There is a principle that works in our lives. And that principle is this: what you sow, you will reap. What you plant, you will harvest. For years and years, when I looked at this passage, my focus was always verse 7. Look at it with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Folks, there's the principle of life. What you sow, you will reap. What you plant, you will harvest. Now, this principle is so important that it is repeated over and over in the Word of God. For example, in Romans chapter 2, verse 6, Paul is talking about the coming of wrath and judgment on unbelievers, and he says this concerning God. He says, God who will render to each one according to his deeds. You see, there's the principle. What you sow, you will reap. In Job chapter 34, verse 11, the scripture says, for he, God, repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his way. And see, there's the principle. What you sow, you will reap. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12, the writer says, if you say, surely we did not know this, does not he, God, who weighs the hearts, consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? And there it is. There's the principle. What you sow, you will reap. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And folks, there's the principle again. What you sow, you will reap. So we cannot overlook or dismiss this principle in life. And you can't miss it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. But brothers and sisters, what we often miss is that this principle, as it's given here in Galatians chapter 6, this principle lays in the context of this message, this passage before us. And that's very important. You see, Paul gives us the principle, but he gives it in the context of Christian living. And I think that we often miss this when we study this passage of Scripture. I have for years. I'll study the passage and then my focus goes right there to verse 7. Because it's a big truth. It's a truth that works in every area of our lives. And yet, we need to look at this truth this morning in the context of this passage. So let's do that. Let's now work our way through this passage and let's find out what Paul is saying to the Galatians and to us. Well, the first truth that we see in our passage is this. We must bear the financial burden of teachers. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Paul says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now think back to what we've looked at previously in this chapter, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul says that we must bear one another's burdens. And he's talking about helping those who have fallen into sin. We looked at that closely last week. And yet Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 seems to give us another example of burden bearing. And specifically, it's bearing the burden of those who teach us. Look again at verse 6. I want you to see it. Paul says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. You see, one way to bear the burdens of those who carry responsibilities of teaching in the church is to support them financially so that they can be free for prayer and study. Now let me stop here a moment. Because from a personal view, when I teach from passages like this, I really get uncomfortable. I mean, it's like I'm ringing my own bell. It's like I'm drawing attention to myself. And frankly, even as I studied this passage several months ago and I looked at it and I reviewed it this week, I have to push against my feelings here. I have to push against myself because, folks, this is the Word of God. And this is a part of Galatians. And we've been working our way through every passage in the book of Galatians. Now, when I look at this statement by the Apostle Paul, I've said this to myself, I share it now with you. Evidently, there was some kind of a problem in the churches of Galatia. He wouldn't have mentioned this, he wouldn't have said this unless there was something going on in their lives. Perhaps they had made a good start and now they were growing weary in well-doing. And the well-doing had to be connected with supporting their pastor teachers in the church. And frankly, we don't have the details. Oftentimes, that's what happens when we study through the epistles. We have the Apostle Paul or one of the other apostles. They're addressing a problem, and we don't know all the details of the problem. We just have their answer. And that's what we have here this morning. Paul gives the answer to the problem. Maybe they were arguing that they were free in Christ, and I can do whatever I want to do with my money. Maybe they were struggling with that. Maybe they were saying, well, who needs teaching anyway? We know the truth and money is scarce and these are hard times. And folks, we don't know what they were saying. All kinds of things could have been running through their hearts and through their minds and through their actions. But we do know that of all the burdens that Paul could have mentioned or shared here, he chose to mention the financial burden of those who teach God's Word. See, by the Spirit of God, this is the direction that Paul goes. Now, I think that Paul had learned this principle from Jesus. For example, in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out about 70 disciples to preach, he told them not to take their own food, because the laborer deserves his wages. In other words, what that means is that God would support them through the people that they ministered to. That's what Jesus told those disciples. Hold your place in Galatians chapter 6 and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look with me at verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Now Paul, notice what Paul says here. I think Paul picks this up in these verses. And again, we're just jumping right into this passage. Paul says, verse 17, let the elders, that would be the pastors, the overseers, the elders, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he spoke to them about the same subject, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. He said, if we have sown spiritual good among you, is it too much if we reap your material benefits? So brothers and sisters, this is the context. We go back to Galatians 6. This is the context of this principle that he gives, this principle of sowing and reaping in Galatians chapter 6. Sowing to the financial needs of those who have given themselves to teach the Word of God will bring a harvest. Now, let me mention to you several implications of Galatians 6:6. When I look at that statement and I look at it in the light of the context, here's how we can look at it in our own lives. So these are implications. First of all, the teaching of the Word of God is essential in the church. Now you see, we know this. We recognize this. But folks, we need to be reminded of this. The teaching of the Word of God is essential in the church. We will not know the Lord as we ought to know Him if we go without sound teaching. I mean, let's expand this. It's not only the teaching in the church, but it's also your responsibility to be in the Word of God and reading and studying the Word of God. You need to feed yourself in the Word of God, and you need to be fed by others. See, the Word of God is essential to salvation and also to sanctification. When we think about the importance of the Word of God, do you realize this morning that worship will be shallow and affections will be weak and obedience will suffer and spiritual growth will be hindered, and all of this will take place when the whole counsel of the Word of God is not shared in a local church? In other words, the whole church is affected. So Paul considered this to be essential. When you sow with your giving, and folks, think about this week after week after week on Sundays, and we do this, I believe, in obedience to the Word of God. God's people gather. We give an opportunity for God's people to give. Week after week, you're not only supporting the pastors, you're not only supporting us, but you are supporting the ministry of the Word of God in this local church. And if you really step back and you think about it, everything that we do is somehow connected to the Word of God. Every ministry and every activity that takes place when this group of people, you as believers, gather together, we are connected to the Word of God. Matter of fact, if we look out those windows and we see what's going on here to the south of this building addition, that's connected to the Word of God. How is it connected to the Word of God? Because a lot of what will result from that will be classrooms. And what are those classrooms for? That we might teach the Word of God. Well, Pastor, how in the world is an elevator connected to the Word of God? Because it will allow people who need to use it to meet together with God's people so that they can be fed the Word of God. You see, it's connected to the Word of God. This is what we do as a body of believers. That's one of the primary reasons that we meet together. Not the only, but one of the primary reasons that we meet together. There's a second implication when we think about what Paul was saying here in Galatians 6. Those who have given themselves to teach the Word of God to the church need freedom to study and meditate and pray. Believe it or not, folks, the study of Scripture is not easy. Finding the meaning of the biblical text, discovering how that meaning fits with the totality of the passage, and then finding out how that fits with the totality of the Word of God takes work, and it takes labor. And it's far too easy for pastors to be pulled from this primary ministry. And folks, it just happens. It happens. Amen. And I don't point fingers. If I point any finger, frankly, I'm going to point at me. It just happens. That's just the way ministry and church life is. It happens. A third implication. It follows then that pastors and teachers should be paid so that they don't have to do other work to support themselves. Now, let me quickly add, this is not required. We don't see a command like that in the Scriptures. Some pastors are bivocational. They work a job and they serve the church. The Apostle Paul worked. But those who were taught the Word of God ought to be eager to free up their teachers financially so that they could give themselves fully and completely to that ministry. And then number four, when you give your money to support the teaching ministry of the church, you are actually fulfilling the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, by bearing the teacher's burden, and you are sowing in a spiritual field that will bring a spiritual harvest. And folks, that brings us right back to Galatians chapter 6. What you sow, you will reap. what you sow, you will reap. Now look with me at verse 7 in the light of that context. That's the context of verse 7. Now let's look at 6. We've looked at 6. Let's look at 7. Paul gives us this statement then in verse 7 to reinforce the command of verse 6. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So evidently, there were some in the churches of Galatia who did not want to share their goods with the teachers in the churches, and they were in effect mocking God with this action. Now, any way you want to look at it, before I say any other word, any way you look at it, it sounds pretty serious if you mock God, doesn't it? And I think Paul wants us to see that and to sense that when we read these words. "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So maybe they were saying, again, these are just thoughts, maybe they were saying, like I said before, "I'm free. For freedom Christ has set me free. And we don't have to bear this burden. We don't have to pay our pastors. This is legalism if you say we have to do this." Maybe that was happening. So in the name of freedom, they had begun to indulge their flesh. But even worse, they were treating the Word of God with contempt. And folks, God is mocked when His messengers are treated with neglect and scorn. Let me stop right here and say this. I praise God for His work in your hearts toward me, because you're not the Church of Galatia. And yet when you take a crowd like this, God wants us to stand and to share His Word. Thank you for your care for the pastors of this church. Now, I've said that. Don't close your mind. Don't close your ears and say, "Well, He's not talking to us." God will talk to whoever He wants to this morning, okay? I want you to know that. But look at this text, because the text says, God is not mocked. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So we mock God when we hold what God gives us to ourselves and we don't bear the burdens of those who teach. That's mocking God. But the text says God is not mocked. So what does this mean? I think it means the same thing that a father means when he says to his child, "I will not be spoken to," in that tone of voice. In other words, child, there will be consequences because you have spoken to me this way. Now we bring that then to what Paul says. Here's how he says it: you will reap what you sow. So the phrase "God is not mocked" means if you treat God's Word with neglect and scorn by not supporting the ministry of the Word in the local church, then you will deeply regret it. You will reap what you sow. And then notice that Paul says, do not be deceived. You see, folks, there is always a time lapse between sowing and reaping. And because there's a time lapse, then it's possible, because of the deceitfulness of our hearts, there's always the possibility that we think we're going to do what we want to do and God will not hold us accountable. When the farmer sows seed, the reaping is not immediate. Amen, amen, Brother David. You see, the farmer sows in the spring, and months later, in the fall, there's a reaping. And you may be able to deceive yourself for a while that the sowing of selfishness is really going to yield more joy in your life than the sowing of sacrifice for the sake of God's word. But if you think that, you are dead wrong. God is not mocked. God's not mocked. And the disregard for God's word and the use of resources that He gives us on our own selfish desires will come back on our heads. Let me give you two examples from the scriptures. First of all, when the servant of Elisha, the prophet, whose name was Gehazi, tried to gain financial benefit from the miracle of God toward Naaman the Syrian, Elisha said this to him in 2 Kings chapter 5. Listen to what he says. He says, "Where have you been? Have you not run after Naaman for money? Are you not more greedy to line your pockets with gold than to magnify the God of Israel? Behold, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and to your descendants forever. God is not mocked. Your greed has come back upon your head." You see, folks, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Another example, in Acts chapter 5, two believers named Ananias and Sapphira lied about their giving to the ministry of the church. And folks, Ananias dropped dead because of that lie. And then Peter then spoke to his wife Sapphira, and here's what he said to her. He said, "Where is your husband? Did you really sell the land for so much? Why have you plotted your own gain and conspired to deceive the Lord? God is not mocked. The feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. They will carry you out. Your greed has come back upon your own head." And whatever a woman sows, she will also reap. So what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 is that we honor God's word when we take money that God has given to us and we give it to support the ministry of His word. But we are deceived if we think that happiness comes from spending our money on our own pleasures, because we mock God if we do that, and our greed will come back upon our heads. Why? Because we reap what we sow. And so very personally, I would ask you, are you supporting the ministry of the Word of God in this local church? Now look at verse 8. Verse 8. Paul tells us here what's really at stake. He says in verse 8, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And so what's at stake in your attitude to the teaching of the Word of God and the use of your money is eternal life. And let me be clear, this is not a salvation by works. We have spent months and months and months looking at the book of Galatians, and Paul over and over and over and over teaches against a salvation by works. And that's not what he's saying right here. You see, a salvation by works is a heart that looks to itself for righteousness, and it expects to be rewarded with eternal life based upon our own righteousness and our own works. But folks, we have seen in our study that works will not save us. Good works will not save. But genuine conversion is an act of God by which we are given life by the Spirit of God, and we are given a new nature that will hate sin and love righteousness. And this happens through faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's the message of Galatians. And we are converted when we hear the gospel and we are moved to forsake our unbelief and our sin, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and we receive forgiveness, and we begin to walk by faith. We begin to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. You see, that's true Christianity. And to say it this way, based on our passage this morning, we begin to sow in a new field. You see, before we were Christians, we sowed seed in another field. But what God has done when He converts us and when He saves us, He puts us in a new field, and now we're able to sow seed in this new field. We begin to sow in God's field. And there will be a sowing to the Spirit, and there will be a reaping of the Spirit to everlasting life. You see, folks, a life lived in the Spirit and by the Spirit is the evidence of a relationship with God that results in everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
But if we look to our own flesh to produce a harvest of fulfillment, then the result will be corruption. And if you sow to the flesh, you will reap the corruption of the flesh. And I think that Paul in this statement makes a comparison here. Sow to the flesh and you will reap eternal corruption. And sow to the Spirit and you will reap eternal life. Now this sowing takes place our whole lives. It's not like we sow once and then we reap. But both the sowing and the reaping takes time. And it's for this reason then that the Apostle Paul makes this next statement. Look at verse 9. He says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In other words, the sowing comes back full circle. There will be a reaping. There will be a harvest. And with these words here in verse 9, I think the Apostle Paul encourages us to keep going. Because folks, we're in the long haul.
Amen.
We're in the long road in this Christian life. It starts wherever it starts by the grace of God, and then we're in the long road in this life. So don't slow down and don't hesitate and don't give up. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, that time when God decides, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. At God's appointed time, there will be a harvest, and you will reap eternal life and eternal joy and eternal blessing in the presence of God forever. But you must not lose heart. You must not grow weary. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't get tired, but it means don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Why? Because the reaping will come. The harvest will come. And folks, the best example of that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It's familiar. Listen to, as I read this passage. He says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with" what? "With endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Simplest way I can say it, if you become weary and discouraged in your souls, what you've got to do is you've got to put your your sight on Jesus. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our example. He's the pioneer who went before us. We have to focus on Jesus. So keep sowing. Paul says in verse 10, Galatians 6:10, he says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Brothers and sisters, there are plenty of opportunities. God will give the opportunities. The word that Paul uses here, it's translated opportunities. It points to a fixed and distinct moment of time. And that means in my life and your life, God will bring into our lives very specific opportunities. And what we need to do is we need to have our eyes and ears open, because God will give them. He will give us opportunities. There will be opportunities given by God to serve others and to bear the burdens of others. And frankly, folks, we can't help everyone, but we can help those people that God brings into our lives. And this is especially true of fellow believers. Paul says here, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Right here, right now in this local church, the opportunities abound. You can sow and you will reap. This principle of sowing and reaping is always taking place. When we sow to the Spirit, there'll be many sacrifices. There'll be time, there'll be resources, there'll be demands, there'll be distress, there'll be complete dependence on God. And the costs are many. And folks, I tell you plainly, the sowing will be long and the sowing will be hard. But the rewards, the harvest, will be greater than anything that we can imagine. Lives will be changed right now, and lives will be changed forever. And in the end, when all is said and done, the reaping and the harvest will be God Himself. He will be the harvest in our lives. Here's the principle. What you sow, you will reap. What are you sowing right now? Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and I simply say thank you. We need it. It's food to our souls. It's food to we who are hungry, Father. It's water to we who are thirsty. We desperately need it. And Father, we now leave the results of your word today to you. It's in your hands. You've brought this group together this morning. You've given me opportunity to share truth. God, you will work in hearts as only you can do. And Father, I ask that you work in great mercy and grace. Speak to hearts. Draw people to yourself. Help us to see the uselessness of living a life focused on self, and to see the great and glorious benefit of a life given to you and for you. Thank you for what you'll do. We praise you and thank you through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen.